said you was going to go to Jonah. I looked over to Jonah and listen to what I wrote into my Bible. Reverend Ricky Prophet, Oak Forest. Now, that's where we baptized them four people up there at Oak Forest. September the 16th, 2013, he preached this message.
Well of a servant. Well of a servant. Good message, too.
Oh, a good message.
I'm telling you right now, I like good things.
Yeah, when you told me last Sunday to go to Jonah and I flipped that open, that whole message just came back to me that he preached that morning.
Well, God's bread, it's never stale.
No.
And I'm glad not only is there a bountiful supply of it, but his bread's always fresh no matter.
But I think it's over a lot of times that, you know, and when I get a good message like that, I write the pastor's name and
yeah, I do too. I've got it right up at the top of my Bible, Brother Rick, 6108, well of a servant.
Yeah.
Got it right up there.
Yeah.
And another one, Glory to Gladness.
I've got his name all through this Bible because I used to go to, if he'd hold a 3-day revival up there, I'd go to his.
Yeah. Brother Rick's got God all over him. I like to hear a man preach, got God on him.
I do too.
And I'll tell you right now, it makes a difference too, but that touch of God makes a difference. But we stopped last week in verse number 4, and I said it was a testimony of faith. And Jonah said, "Then said I," which lets us know that he's speaking, "I am cast out of thy sight, yet will I look again toward thy holy temple." And that's quite a bit different than the bunch in the ship storm of Acts 27, the storm of Rachidon. And chapter 27, verse 20 says, "And all hope that we should be saved was then taken away." And Jonah's statement is a statement of faith. And when faith is all you've got, faith is all that you need. God always honors faith.
Yeah.
This Bible's full of people that didn't have nothing but faith. I mean, they stood on faith and God honored it. I could entertain several thoughts this week about faith. I mean, a little youth named David obeying his father, taking food to his brothers, and as he got there, the great 9-foot tall giant breathing out threatenings, "Give me a man, give me a man," and David shouted for the battle, and his brother accused him of being naughty, and Saul accused him of being but a youth, but he was willing by faith to go down against this giant.
Yes.
And youth did not prevent, it didn't give him the victory, but it didn't prevent him neither from going down before this Philistine giant. And anyway, we're on Jonah this morning. But Jonah here, he's made a lot of bad decisions. This predicament is his own doing.
Yeah.
God has his way. The Bible says God has his way in the whirlwind and the storm.
Yeah.
In the Nahum chapter 1, verse number 3, the Lord has his way in the whirlwind and the storm. And Jonah is kind of realizing that he's made some mistakes. And my favorite verse in this chapter 2 is verse 2, when Jonah said, "I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord." He didn't just cry, he cried unto the Lord.
Yes.
And he said, "And he heard me." He said, "Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice." Now, verse 4 was our last verse, and it was that statement of faith where Jonah, even though his situation is about as bad can be, he makes a statement of faith and said, "Yet I will look again toward thy holy temple."
Yeah.
Verse 5, the circumstances of his situation, "The waters compass me about." This is the reason that I'm inclined to believe that Jonah's dead. Said, "The waters compass me about." He's not somewhere and not drowning. He said, even to the soul. I truly believe, and this, I'm not dogmatic about this. This is just my perception here. But I truly believe Jonah died. And he says the waters come down into his soul. Now I'm breathing air right now.
Right.
Just took a deep breath. Now if I breathe water, I'm going to die. I'm going to drown.
That's right.
Jonah here says the water has compassed him about even to the soul. He says the depth closed him round about. He says the weeds wrapped about his head. I mean, he's only God could help him. He's as down, as far down as down can be. As a matter of fact, verse 6, he said, I went down. One thing about Jonah is he done a lot of going down. He went down.
Yeah.
Verse number 1, he went down to Joppa. He went down into the ship. He just went down, down, down. He just right here, he says, and I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. You know, we've explored space, spent a lot of money.
Yeah.
And I've often wondered why they have never explored the oceans. Jonah did.
Yeah, that's right.
Jonah went somewhere where, you know, they talking about...
Man never went.
Yeah, talking about putting a man on the moon. And,
yeah.
And that is quite an accomplishment, and I don't know. Some people say it never happened. Some people said it did. I don't know one way or the other. But we've got, you know, 2/3 of this earth is water. And there's still discoveries being made on land. But I've often wondered about what we would discover if we truly did explore the ocean. And Jonah here, I just throw this in here real quick. I don't know how this lesson's going to go. I'm just taking it precept upon precept and line upon line. But they had an airplane, Flight 370 or something like that, a Mayan airplane or something like that. It just disappeared.
Yeah.
And they've been trying to find it. And they found, they think, pieces of it. But it kind of points towards the vastness of the ocean. And I just have wondered what man could benefit from exploring the depths of the ocean. They've done some, and I'm sure it holds a lot of truths and things down there. I don't know, but Jonah, he went down to the bottoms of the mountains. I don't know what the deepest part of the ocean is, but I'm going to say he's about as deep as it goes right here. And this whale, which ends up being a limousine to take him to Nineveh, has Jonah captive, and the Bible talks about the Lord had prepared this fish, which Jesus told us is a whale, and under express command of God, it's given Jonah a tour of the bottom of the ocean. And he said he's down to the bottoms of the mountains. He said the earth with their bars, and there's a lot of pressure. Further you go down the ocean, so much pressure that they have to have pressure suits. They have to have some way of offsetting the pressure of the weight of the water. That's amazing. They've just in some of the discoveries that they've made, they went down, I forgot how many thousands of feet, down at the bottom of this certain place in the ocean, thinking there'd be nothing. It's just full of life.
Yeah.
I mean, there's things running across the bottom, there's things swimming.
Yeah.
And the pressure doesn't affect them. A man scratches his head and says, and of course, I guess he's thinking evolution. I don't know, but they're sitting there thinking, why aren't they just crushed by the weight? And here man's down there, and he's not like them. He wasn't made for that environment. And he's got, you know, devices to offset this pressure. They don't always work. Some of them don't make it back.
Right.
But anyway, Jonah's down here, and he's talking about being down there, and he says that the bars, the pressure, it's about him. He's feeling it. There's some feeling here. And again, he speaks faith. He says, yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. Now I want you to know he's on the right track right here, buddy. He's throwing out prayers to God. When he says, oh Lord my God, I want you to know that's a white flag. He said, hey, Don't forget me.
That's right.
Oh, Lord my God. Verse 7, he says, when my soul fainted within me, that's another thing that makes me think that he died. Picturistic of the death burial of Christ, which Jesus made a reference to Jonah being in the well 3 days and three nights. He said, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord and my prayer. Jonah, he's a praying man. And I'll say this with reverence to verse number 2. And Jonah says, out of the belly of hell cried I. And I see some of the greatest prayers ever prayed or even being prayed right now from the depths of hell. And I've thought a lot about that. I thought, mercy, drop of water, one more chance. I'm ready.
Right.
I'll do right. I'll be good. I won't be a rebel. I'll be a model Christian. And I think hell not only holds its captives, but I see there's a lot of prayers that are lifted up out of hell, hoping that God will honor them. And here Jonah is. He's praying. And he says, and my prayer came in unto thee. Well, one thing about prayer, when I do pray, I want it to get to God.
Amen.
A lot of people, Brother Ed, and I've even caught myself in this predicament, trying to impress myself or even God with words. One time I was praying, Brother Ed, I remembered. I was in my bedroom where we live at right now, and I was just kind of praying nonchalant, and all of a sudden, out of my mouth came these words, Lord, forgive me for being less than your expectations of me. And when I said those words, the reality of what I just said hit home, and I couldn't get another word after probably 30 minutes. I mean, I have to admit, I was consumed in what I had just said.
Yeah.
Lord, forgive me for the times that I've been less than your expectations of me. And the reality of that statement didn't just fall. I mean, but I got a reply for what I said. And God not only heard it, but I felt the effect of it. I mean, all of a sudden I was consumed. And what a failure I had been to the one that loved me and gave himself for me. And I just kind of got in fetal position there. And I remember the Lord kind of nurtured me back. But I said, I am so sorry, Lord. I am so sorry. But lots of times we just throw words out.
Yeah.
Our prayers are empty. They're somewhat meaningless. Maybe they're to impress others or something. And it really bothers me, you know, that we try to choose words instead of praying. It really bothers me. We do it, and that's just our flesh pumped up, you know. And Jonah here, he says, and my prayer came in unto thee. You know, he's not praying amiss. He said, into thy holy temple. Now, God inhabits eternity. His throne is above every throne. And he's high and lifted up, and Jonah's got a prayer there. He said, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. Now this next statement, I've got a bumper sticker with this verse on it. And I like this statement that Jonah makes here. He says, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. You know, you can believe a lie. A lot of people do. And a lot of bias going on right now. I don't want to get political here. But there's a lot of things that they're not what they seem to be.
Oh, no.
Now, we got, and just for a minute here in this message, we got a president that's forfeited his wages. Only one other president done that. I think it was Theodore Roosevelt. I don't know which one it was. But he's only the second president in the history of the United States of America to forfeit his wages. And they accuse him of everything. They accuse Jesus of being a wine bibber, a friend of the public. I mean, you can't stop people from accusing you of things. What bothers me is the ripple effect that it has. And this verse here, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. God is merciful.
Yeah.
God is gracious. He's long-suffering, loving, kind, gentle. Man, everything about God's good. But some people's opinion and mine used to be the same. Of God is not necessarily accurate. And I thought God was my enemy, Brother Ed. I run from God for 34 years. I blame God. You know, the Bible talked about Job that he never charged God foolishly. I did. I said, God, if you truly love me, why is this happening? Why have I not got this? Why this? Why that? And you know, that the grace and mercy of God just is so multiplied to us that Jonah, realizing this is his own fault, his own doing, and he frames these words and he says, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. There's a multitude of people in the valley of decision that they're going to go one way or the other. They're either going to believe a lie and be damned, or they're going to take God's word for what Jesus said it was. In St. John chapter 17, verse 17, he said, thy word is truth. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth. No lies of the truth. They're either going to believe a lie and be saved, or they're going to observe a lying vanity and they're going to forsake their own mercy. Jesus Christ, just this week in social media, just corresponding with some people, and one guy couldn't understand why Jesus died for the sins of the whole world, how he could be a sinner. And I said, truly, he did die for the sins of the whole world. He paid the debt that he did not owe. We owed the debt that we could not pay. But I said, it did not benefit me until I came to him as a sinner and asked him to be my Savior, asked him to forgive me my sins, and believed him to do it and received him by faith. And I said, then I'll realize what it meant to be saved. He took his rightful place on the throne of my heart. And see, a lot of people have a misconception.
Yeah.
And they've been told this, they've been told that. And Jonah says, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. There's no excuse for everyone not making it to heaven. There's no escape from the judgment.
No,
and I'm glad I got a good judge. I got a good Jewish judge. He's never lost a case.
That's right.
Matter of fact, all the evidence is gone. He put on the blood. And my old accuser, I can just see him now. He just can't wait about like Mueller. You know, he ain't really got a case, but boy, he sure does act like he's got one.
Yeah,
goes up there and accuses me before God and the great judgment hall of God and said, Eddie Wade's this, Eddie Wade's that, Eddie Wade's done this, Eddie Wade's done that. And they asked me how I plead, and I said, I plead guilty, sir. My lawyer stands up and says, yes, sir, but the evidence is gone, and we're going to have a mistrial here because there's no evidence. It's on the blood.
Amen.
And you know what? That's kind of really true. I mean, he's going to justify the ungodly.
Yeah.
Who's going to lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's him to justify. He's going to be my lawyer, my advocate, and I'm looking forward to finally settling the score. You know, the devil, he tries to hang it over my head and haunt me with the fact that, and I am unworthy. I agree. And I do want to walk worthy of the vocation of God. I do. I do want to be a blessing, not a burden. I do want to walk before Him in the beauty of holiness. I do want to do all of that. It's just not possible when you've got this flesh, this corruptible flesh to deal with every day. I was telling my granddaughter yesterday, in a funny way, I said, I've killed Eddie Wade every day since I've been saved. And I said, it beats all I've ever seen. He just keeps getting up.
Yeah.
And I said, the only way Jesus can be everything is if I'm nothing. Yeah. And I said, if I'm anything at all, He can't be everything. And I said, I've tried my best to crucify Eddie Wade every day. It don't always work, but I've tried. But Jonah here makes a comment about observing lying vanities. Now, when you read there in Matthew chapter 7, verse 14, when the Lord talking about deception, false prophets, and taking heed that no man deceives you, He said, broad is the way.
Yes.
That leads to destruction. And many there be that go that way. It's no secret. He's telling it as straight and true as it can be told. He said, narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. And that narrow way, Jesus said, I am the door. In John 10, verse 2, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. There's no other door. Right. Acts 4:12, there's no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. So that narrow way is none other than Christ Himself. Yeah. And He says in verse 15, beware of false prophets that come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly, He said, they're raving wolves. And the next verse, He says, by their fruit shall you know them.
Right.
And the world just don't get it. And Jonah here is trying to say in a simple verse, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. And he gets a little affirmative here in verse 9. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. He's speaking in faith again. I will pay that which I have vowed. And I love this next verse, or next sentence. Salvation is of the Lord. Now, I like that. I like that statement. Salvation's of the Lord. And I believe, let me see here if I've got the right reference wrote down here. And I hope I do. I can quote this verse, but I'd rather. Psalms 37. Well, it can't be right. It ain't got, it ain't got that many verses in there, so I must not have wrote it right. But, get back up there. The verse I was trying to look up, it is He that saved us and not we ourselves. And I thought I had it wrote down, but I don't. But God, He's the one that saved me. I couldn't even get lost without the help of God.
Right.
You know, the Bible says that the preparation hearts of the Lord, He had to prepare my heart. Just like the ground that I seen on the way up here that had to be worked up to plant a crop,
yeah,
and then tended to for the crop to come up and then the right crop to come up. But God had to get me good and lost before He could get me good and saved. And like Jonah, in my predicament of being lost, as lost as a goose in a snowstorm, as lost could be, I'm like Jonah. You know, I realized there was only one hope. And Jonah here in that one hope, verse 9, he says, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation's of the Lord. What a verse. And verse 10 is the answer to the end of that prayer that Jonah's been praying. And verse 10 said, and the Lord spake. Boy, when God speaks, things happen. God spake everything into existence.
Yes.
That may be, no, that ain't what I had there. But the Bible said He spake and it stood fast. He commanded and it was done. But the Bible says here in this last verse of Jonah chapter 2, and the Lord spake unto the fish. And it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. He didn't have to get his feet wet as far as swimming to the shoreline there at Nineveh. This whale took him all the way to the beach of Nineveh. And as the mercy of God is, chapter 3 verse 1 says, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time.
Yeah.
The merciful God of heaven. You know, Jonah, he's in the belly of hell crying. He's in the belly of hell, a type of the dilemma of being in hell. And in Jonah's case, he gets another chance. And in Jonah's case, he gets the message again. I mean, that was his only task, was to deliver this message to Nineveh, very first verse of the very first chapter, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come before me." That was his charge before all of this whale problems and hail problems come upon him. And then God gives him the same message the second time. And he says, "Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city," and I like this, "and preach unto it." Jonah's a prophet, but Jonah's also a preacher.
Yeah.
And God says, "And preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee." A lot of people don't really understand preaching, and I guess I'm the biggest one as anybody else. But one thing I do understand about preaching is that God chose it. 1 Corinthians. Yeah, it pleased God. 1 Corinthians 1:21. "It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." And amen. You know, preaching is kind of like planting seeds. Or you're preaching out the Word of God, the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. And
yeah,
sometimes it don't fall on good ground, but sometimes it does. And God tells this preacher, this prophet, "Go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee." I notice here in verse number 3, Jonah ain't looking for a ship. Jonah arose.
That's right.
I mean, buddy, he run plumb out of his shoes.
Yeah.
And he went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. That tells how big the city of Nineveh is. It takes 3 days to go from one edge or end of Nineveh to the other.
Yeah.
Verse 4 said, "And Jonah began to enter into the city." He's a day's journey into it. And he starts street preaching. I've been a street preacher, and I know all about this verse right here. And that's all you do. You cry aloud and you spare not. And sometimes, you know, you get a good response, and sometimes you get one not so good. I was up there on the public square in Glasgow, Kentucky, street preaching one time, and I'm just delivering the message that I felt burning in my heart that God had gave me for that day. And I'm up there preaching. I ain't bothering nobody. I ain't calling nobody's name out. And a car full of teenagers pulled in down below me down there. And unbelievably, believe it or not, we was recording to that service that day for some reason or another. And we was recording that service that day. And on that recording, you can hear me just preaching up a storm. And this car of teenagers gets out. And I guess one of them wanting to show off to his peers there. He turned around and he said, "I'm coming back and I'm going to bring my shotgun," and you can hear me just as clear right now. I said, "Don't threaten me with heaven, I'll wait on you." And boy, his knees buckled up and there wasn't another peep come out of him. But I have to admit, how can you threaten someone with heaven when no weapon formed against you can prosper? All a man can do is just get you to heaven quicker than waiting on God to come and get you. You know, we're thanks be unto God that giveth us the victory through Christ Jesus our Lord. We're not just conquerors. The Bible said we're more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. A conqueror can be conquered. But we're more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. And that means, buddy, we have the victory. But anyway, Jonah here, he's a day's journey into Nineveh. And he's crying out and gives us the message. He's crying out, and here's the message. God told him to say this, and here's what he said. "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." Boy, I wish I could preach a message that short. My pastor for sure would like to preach a message that short. But he preaches that, I don't know how many words that is. Let's see here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 word message.
Yeah.
He may not have wanted to say no more than that. Jonah, he's definitely an exception of prophets and preachers. And he delivers that short message. Verse 5, the most unbelievable thing ever. It says, "So the people of Nineveh believed God, and proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them, even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes, and he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that's in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? And God saw, three words, and God saw their works, that they turned from their evil ways, and God repented of the evil that he had said he would do unto them, and he did it not. Now, this is quite a revival.
Yes.
We got 120,000 souls, which is mentioned in verse 11 of the next chapter, that don't even know their left hand from their right hand. They've heard this eight-word message. And, you know, they're not just hearers, they're doers. I mean, they say, we better do something with this message.
That's right.
I would to God that America could wake up like Nineveh. Jesus made a reference to Nineveh. And he said, the men of Nineveh will rise up against this generation and condemn it. He said, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And he said, a greater than Jonah is here. I would to God that we can see more fruits of repentance. I've seen some since I've been here. I've seen some elsewhere. And it's a beautiful sight to see someone that's truly sorry for things that they've done, and to go to the right one, not to kiss somebody's ring, not to go through some sacrament, eat some wafer, but to go to the right one. You know, you can repent and repent to the wrong one. Like Jonah said, you can believe a lie, you can observe lying vanities, forsake your own mercy, but if you repent to the right one, you'll get the right reaction. These people in Nineveh, they repented to the right one.
Yeah.
Their total reaction and response was, we're sorry. And the king said, who can tell if God will spare us or not? They've done everything right. They had the right kind of preacher. He might not like it. He delivered the right message. Kind of like John the Baptist. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven's at hand. And the right preaching will do a lot of good.
Yes.
Now, tickling ears. I certainly don't want to throw no rocks here this morning. But the right kind of preaching will bring forth the right kind of response. And this is what Nineveh needed. Nineveh needed to be told that they was wrong, that what they've been doing was wrong, and that God had sent this preacher to them to tell them of the wrong that they had did. And that word, boy, it's quick and powerful, and it affected the king. It affected the greatest down to the least. It even had an effect upon the beast. You talking about repentance, I mean, they had a mighty repentance. You might say a mighty revival in Nineveh. And God saw it. And I tell you, if we could have the same thing in America, God could see it too. But about all I see in America is rejection, rebellion, resist anything but even acknowledge God. They don't like to retain God in their knowledge. They're so much smarter. I've noticed this corresponding with people on social media. It's all about IQ.
Yeah.
And their hearts It's dark. They won't allow any light in. They're foolish. Hearts darken. And like Jonah, they're doing what Jonah said. They're forsaking their own mercy. They could have the same mercy that God gave the Ninevites. Didn't deserve that mercy. Man, I heard a lot about the Ninevites. No wonder Jonah didn't want to go there. But even as undeserving as they were of mercy, mercy was given. And verse 10 said, and God repented of the evil. He was fixing to throw the whole place over. Now, Sodom and Gomorrah didn't repent.
No.
But the people of Nineveh did. And God repented of the evil that He was going to do to Nineveh. He spared them, and He didn't do it. But our next chapter here says, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly. I've seen a lot of preachers pout.
Yeah.
Man, jealousy. Oh my, oh my, oh my. Song of Solomon, I think it's chapter 6, maybe verse 18, says jealousy is as cruel as the grave. I've seen jealousy ruin preachers. I've seen those peacock feathers get the best of them. It's sad when God has to humble a preacher. Now, Jonah's been humbled. He's been obedient. And now he's pouting.
Yeah, that's right.
You can see so much in Jonah that we're, most of us are guilty of ourselves. One thing I've never really struggled with is jealousy of another preacher or even of a brother or sister. And I thank God for that. I've always been kind of in the shadows all my life. Even before I got saved, I never really wanted to usurp any authority. And some people just, it don't go that easy with them. And it's to their own hurt many times. That, you know, the Bible tells us to run the race with patience.
Yes.
And some people, I don't know, they get in the marathon and think they're running a sprint. I don't know. And they run out and they quit and they don't finish the race. That's the most important thing. I might come in last, but I'm going to finish. Well, anyway.
Brother Eddie?
Yeah.
It's 10 minutes to 11, and I know you ain't going to do this whole chapter in 10 minutes.
That's true.
Let's wait till next Sunday and finish this message.
All right.
What do you think?
All righty. And we'll stop right there at Jonah chapter 4. And the effect of this repentance upon Jonah is found there. He's very angry. He's not just mad. He's very mad. And he gives really an explanation in this verse of why he didn't want to go to Jonah.
Yeah.
But we'll stop it right there.
That's why I wanted to wait till next Sunday, because There is a lot in chapter 4.
That sure is, brother.
That we need to cover.
Yeah.
And one of the things that we need to cover, and
come on in.
I'm going to show you.
Put it in, Pete.